Hi, we're in studio with Jonathan. How you doing, John?
I'm great.
Good. And I'm Mark, Pastor Mark. And we have some friends that we have become acquainted with. Showed up at Calvary Wednesday night, and we heard their testimony. We've got to introduce them to you. We have Clifford Young Jr. and his wife, Robin, both of them from Carson, California. Where's that?
Carson, California. That is somewhere between Los Angeles and Long Beach. It's actually about 20 miles out of Los Angeles, going south, right next to what we call the South Bay area, and that's Long Beach and Torrance and San Pedro. So right there where the boats come, and we've been there for a while. We grew up in that area. So,
Robin, you were there all your life too, huh?
Born and raised.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, the reason why you guys are here in the studio is after Jonathan was talking to you and you had introduced yourselves to me after a church service on Wednesday night, we thought, wow, we have got to hear this story. Yeah. So basically, that's what we're going to do. Jonathan, I know you wanted to start an interview going, so go ahead, brother.
Well, I really, before we get into the whole SDA thing, mm-hmm. if you could just kind of share with us what your faith story was, how you came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, with me, it seems like I've been in the church all my life, because mm-hmm. I have. I started with my parents. My father was a minister for several years. He's not doing that anymore. And my mother was kind of like the church musician. They were like a dad and mom team. And my mother has been playing all of her life. And we grew up in a family of Christians, kind of split. Well, we're all Christians, but Seventh-day Adventists and then the other Baptists, AME, Presbyterian. So I kind of got I started singing in the church when I was like 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. You know, started playing piano at the same time.
Was that in the
That was in all of the above.
Oh, okay.
Because what would happen is that my mom would go to church. She would play for the Seventh-day Adventist church. And then my dad would preach the Sunday morning. And I would do both services. So it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I had a mix of mostly all the popular denominations, because I was involved with both sides of it. Mm-hmm. So it was like Friday night chill, or Sabbath is coming, and then wake up, and Saturday I'm in church, and then Sunday I'm in church, and then Monday I'm at school, mm-hmm. type of thing.
Kept you out of trouble.
Right. and the Lord have been going on for a while, but I didn't really understand the significance of it until I was faced with going to college and with the need to call on the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, for specific things. And so I would say my faith started when I got into college at University of Southern California, mm-hmm. and when I was at a depression stage, and I was like, what am I going to do? And my mother always taught me to pray. Mm-hmm. So she was a real prayer warrior. I would see her in the morning, and at 5 o'clock in the morning before she would go to work, praying, and I started joining her on her devotional time, and that's how I developed my personal relationship with the Lord. So that's kind of my story. I wouldn't say, you know, I was in the Spirit one day and all of a sudden I became a Christian, but it was kind of a gradual experience. And mm-hmm. then my need came, especially when I met Robin and we started our family, and I was like, you know what? I need to be a man of God. Mm-hmm. I need to be a spiritual man. I need to be a spiritual head of my household.
Well, Robin, how was your experience coming to Christ?
Well, mine was probably more traditional. Both my parents are from Texas, and my father was AME. My mother was Baptist. So when they moved to Los Angeles, we found a church in Carson, Judson Baptist Church, and so I've always been a part of that church until I got married, and then my husband and I both, you know, as a married couple, were seeking a church home. Mm-hmm. And I was baptized when I was 5 years old.
Oh, that's great.
You mm-hmm. know, just grew from there.
And was it a good experience for you growing up? I mean, you loved the Lord.
I did. I learned more, of course, as you get older and reality sets in and you realize that you're mortal when you come out of that teenage stage and you realize that you're mortal. I felt a serious need to just get serious about my personal relationship with Christ. You know, sometimes I think in church you're doing all the right things and all the rituals and the routines, but that emphasis on the personal relationship with Christ really became evident in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. When did you guys meet each other?
You want to, that's a long story.
I'll just tell the story. It was the basic setup of a mother looking for a wife for her son. I attended a career day at both Clifford and my former high school, and a lot of people were standing around talking about their jobs, and I was fairly quiet, and his mother was actually a teacher there at our high school mm-hmm. when I was there, so I already knew her, and she wanted to introduce me to her son, and I told her I was dating someone, and she said, well, you're not married yet, so you can meet my son. And
I was dating someone else at the time
now,
as well.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Were you Seventh-day Adventist at the time?
Yes. If I were to put down on a card, uh-huh. I would be Seventh-day Adventist.
But definitely. You were AME at the time.
Baptist.
Going to Judson
Baptist Church.
Okay, right. So we've got a dynamic going on.
Yes.
There.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I gave her my card, and he called me a couple of days later, and we probably talked for 3 hours and went on our first date a few weeks later, and we were together after that, really.
So
very
been,
special.
Been together about 12 years.
Yes.
Now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you being a Seventh-day Adventist
yes.
and you being a Baptist, mm-hmm. what was that dynamic like coming into a relationship and then also pursuing marriage?
Well, you want to...
Well, I was just going to say, I remember when he first mentioned Adventism, that when I was in Sunday school, there was a poster on the wall, and it referred to different religions and things to be careful about, and I couldn't remember
and
everything.
Cults. Yes.
But I said, I thought that I saw Adventism mm-hmm. on that poster about something to be careful about, but because I was newly married and, you know, I was being obedient with my husband and following him, I said, well, if I'm in prayer about this, the Lord is going to show us and reveal to us what we need to know, mm-hmm. and he's going to be with us all the way, and so that's what I did.
Where were you guys married? What church?
We have all these churches. So we were married actually in the Methodist Church, one of the churches that I was the youth minister of music at. It's called Holman United Methodist Church. It's a big African-American church in the Los Angeles area, one where Martin Luther King spoke. You know, uh-huh. Jesse Jackson's been there,
wow.
if you can call him. Okay. And a lot of people
so
were there.
What day did you get married on? I'm curious.
December 20th.
Adventists don't usually have weddings on Saturday.
We were married on Saturday evening.
Saturday evening.
Okay.
Yes, after the sun went down.
Okay.
So, December 20th, 1997.
Did you find yourselves compromising a lot in life, or did you just become an Adventist, Robin?
Well, for me, I was a bit cautious. But I have to say that in the kind of training and teaching that we went through before actually becoming Adventists, I learned the most about the Word during that training because mm-hmm. The pastor was leading a prophecy seminar. Mm-hmm. And so we were really studying the Bible. And I said, wow, I'm learning a lot. But in learning that, I was also, you know, remembering what the Word said. So I was kind of comparing what I was hearing in the sanctuary versus what was in the Bible mm-hmm. through that experience.
That's right.
Now, were you married by an Adventist pastor? Or
Well, what happened? My dad's a pastor. Mm-hmm. So he married us, and we had representation from, I think, every denomination.
There were four ministers.
There were four ministers
on
the podium.
The rabbi.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was a pretty big wedding, too. We had about 800 people at our wedding, and a huge reception. But we just had adequate representation. Since my dad was a pastor, I said, Dad, you know, you got to marry us. So it was there. Actually, our getting involved in the church happened after. We were married because it's like, oh, well, we have to find a church family because, you know, that's what we need to do. And plus the Word says, don't forsake the gathering. So we said, I made the decision that we were going to go to the local Seventh-day Adventist church where my mom played and
now,
I attended.
Robin, I'm curious because you're coming in from the non-Adventist background. Mm-hmm. And you're in love with this guy, and Cliff's such a sweet guy. What, though, with your faith, of course, it was precious to you. Mm-hmm. What made you buy into Adventism? What seemed to be the selling point? Was there one, or?
Probably what what allowed me to venture into it was that because of the seminar that was going on, we were really delving into the Bible. So it was meatier, so to speak, mm-hmm. than what I felt I had been experiencing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just really in-depth Bible study. And so I was fascinated by that. I was also fascinated by some of the topics that they were addressing, such as, you know, being with the Lord immediately after death versus soul sleep. Soul sleeping is what it's called, and some of those things. So I was interested to know that because those were topics that were maybe taboo, but I'm a person that likes to know it all so I can make an informed decision as opposed to just saying that's taboo. So that's probably what drew me in.
So were you pretty proud, Cliff, when they're teaching the doctrines and she's seeing the light? Did you feel kind of like...
I felt confused because really, I mean, I knew the doctrines, but... That was the first time that I really had a deep experience, and they would open up the Word and say, okay, this is why. We were doing the Daniel Revelation series, a prophecy series. It's pretty popular, but it's all Seventh-day Adventism. It's all mixed in with their different doctrines and stuff, and it's like the Word of God says this, Ellen G. White says this, and this is how the two mix type of thing. And so I wasn't proud. I was kind of soul-searching. I was trying to see, well, okay, now that I have a family and I have someone I have to be responsible to, is this the right doctrine?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we discovered.
And that's where a lot of discussion began with the introduction of Ellen G. White.
Yeah.
Because I would read my Bible and I would think, well, there's nothing that requires me to follow her specifically. And I thought that I had learned that some of the things she had said were incorrect, especially about the moon turning to blood, I think was one of the references that Adventists said had already occurred. And so that started to be confusing, and learning that things that Ellen G. White had predicted did not come. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says you'll know a prophet, you know, when things come to pass and when they happen. And so that started a lot of discussion and concern for me.
When did that happen? Was it during the prophecy seminar that you were introduced to Ellen White? What's your very first recollection of hearing about Ellen White? It might not have been there. I don't know.
No, it was when there was a couple that was kind of having a home Bible study with us. Mm-hmm. And right before they said, okay, now you are responsible for your knowledge. Now you need to come. Now you need to be baptized, is what they said. And they mentioned Ellen G. White at that point. And so that was my first hearing of her.
And did they say she was a prophet?
Oh, yeah, a prophetess.
But I didn't feel that they agreed with everything about her. So then that made me question, well, if they don't agree with everything that's said, and this is supposed to be the prophetess of Seventh-day Adventism, then maybe I should be concerned about it, too.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's interesting. And you've been, Cliff, raised with Ellen White. I mean,
I wasn't really.
Did you guys read the Red Books?
No, we didn't. Let me see. The Adventist Home, I'm familiar with that book. I've read through it, but I didn't agree with everything. I was just there really because my family had been so involved in it. So it was kind of like a tradition type thing. And I was saying, well, this is a good church. These are good people. You know, they love the Lord. That's obvious. Let's go here.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, what was the turning point that took place in your lives that made you, after you started questioning these different doctrines, these different teachings, what was the tipping point, if you will, that started the journey towards leading you out of Adventism?
Well, really, we started in the service to say it doesn't say that in the Word of God. It's like I don't interpret.
And this
it
is
that
during
way.
The
this is during the prophecy series, and we saw some just different things that we didn't agree with. We weren't right in our spirit about it because I believe, you know, if you search for truth, that you know the Lord's going to reveal to you. Mm-hmm. And so we started searching. I started praying just for these specific things. I'm sure Robin did at the same time. I never asked you that question if you started praying, but I'm sure she did, just that the Lord would lead us to truth. And what happened was that we were just so discouraged. We stopped going because we knew this isn't it. There's something wrong with it.
Go ahead. But also I remember once during a sermon, the pastor saying something, and I said, wasn't sure, and I said, I don't think that's actually what the Bible says. That's not interpreted correctly. And I remember reading, I said, as a matter of fact, that's not what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And that really made me concerned that either it was being changed or it was being misinterpreted, and that concerned me. I was also concerned that when we were baptized, there was a litany of questions that were asked of all the candidates prior to going to baptism, and I said no.
Prior to being dunked.
Prior to being dunked. And I said no to a couple of things, but we just went on anyway. There were clearly some things I didn't agree with, so I was concerned about that. And
what were some of those things?
You know, I was trying to remember that. I think it had to do with Ellen G. White.
Yeah.
I think that was the
last question.
That
the words and the writings of Ellen G. White are as inspired as the Word of God. And they are inspired writings as the Word of God is. And do you also believe that Ellen G. White is the prophetess of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And, you know.
And I didn't agree. And I said, no. I mean, I didn't yell it out, but that we just went on and everybody had their baptism and that was great and all. But I thought, And it was more of a, it was almost forgotten. The questions were almost forgotten. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, oh, I have to ask you this before you can be baptized. And it was very fast. And everybody was just kind of really nodding and, you know, kind of saying yes. But I said
also the days
things.
Of worship. Sure also that. the day of worship. Do you believe that, you know, the 7 day is a Sabbath, you know, the whole commandment there. And
so that was just a few too many things.
The 7 day is a Sabbath, but does it apply to us? Also, the division of what was really key to me now is that the church being considered spiritual Israel. And where I clearly see, you know, in Romans and most of the epistles of Paul, where that is not taught, that the church and Israel are two separate things. You know, so. But I didn't come into realization of that until I, you know, got out of the church and I really just started figuring that out. But I think the key point was had to deal a lot with Pastor Mark. We were in this kind of like
transition stage.
And we had been listening to K-Wave, which is the local Christian radio station down there. And there was a program called To Every Man an Answer. It's now called Pastor's Perspective, but then it was called Every Man an Answer. And Pastor Mark was on there, just so happened to be talking about Seventh-day Adventism. And I was like, wow, this is my chance. I can call in, you know, and hundreds of people calling in. And I got through. And I was in the car on the cell phone. I was like, Pastor Mark, I have one question for you. I hope you can answer this. I know you can. What are we under the law as Christians? And he just gave me the whole explanation within 15 seconds. He was like, this is Israel. This is the church. We are not under the law. Israel was a covenant with God and them. And we have a new covenant. That's Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace, not of anything that you can do or works or anything. And that's the answer. He said, you need to get into Bible-based, Bible-teaching church and quickly. And here, you know, you can get some of my tapes. I got all the tapes,
every single one.
I went through it. I mean, it was like 48 hours of just new revelation to me. And I went through all the tapes, all the testimonies, all that stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness. And and Robin came home one day after teaching. I had been there 48 hours just doing all this research. And I said, we got to go. We've got to get out of here. We've got to find a church.
And we kept listening to K-Wave.
Listening.
You know, heard Raul Reese and Pastor Chuck, Pastor Steve. And we
Mike
were just,
McIntosh,
but Mike McIntosh,
those,
we were give blessed.
Give us the call letters of that station because there's a lot of people that listen to these interviews.
That's 107.9 FM. It's K-Wave, KWVE. And they're based out of
Costa Mesa.
Yeah, Costa Mesa.
And we listened for about 4 months, and what really struck a chord within us was preaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you know, tenet by tenet, and that's exactly what we needed. And I told my husband, I said, the churches I've been to has always been topical preaching, you know, themed preaching. I've never gone through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know that I had ever read through the Bible completely, but I started. At that point, and we probably listened for about 4 months.
Tell the story how we got there.
So we were listening for 4 months, and I think the last time we probably went to the Adventist church was in the fall, December of 1998, and it was Valentine's Day, and we were looking for something to do, and we said, we don't want to go to certain types of places. And Pastor Steve,
we were out
riding in the car,
yeah.
And Pastor Steve had a commercial that said, "Are you looking for something to do this Valentine's Day? Do you want to avoid clubs and scenes where you shouldn't be? We're having Sunday evening service tonight at 6:30. Why don't you come on down?" And it was though he were talking directly to us.
Oh, wow.
And we drove straight there. We got the directions. We arrived a little bit late. And as you know, with Calvary Chapel, if you arrive past worship, you sit in the overflow room. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we were watching on the screen, and we came forward for prayer that very night. And I think about 2 months later in April, we decided to make that our church home. We've been there ever since.
When we came down for prayer, this lady, this is how I knew it was the Lord. This lady, they take you back to the prayer room, and say, "Okay, how can we pray for you?" I said, "Well, we're Seventh-day Adventists. We've been in this church, and we're just looking for a home fellowship." She says, "Really? I'm Seventh-day Adventist, too." Formerly Seventh-day Adventist.
Wow.
And she was like this Jamaican lady, and she had the accent and the whole thing. And I was like, "You got to be kidding me." She said, "Oh, let me pray for you right now." And we just started praying and stuff. And I told her about the tapes and the whole thing, the experience. It was just like this was a God thing. No emotionalism or anything. It was just pure. This is the word of God. Mm-hmm. You guys have been searching. Here's your answer. And we've been there.
It was manna.
Yeah.
It was truly the word of God. We were totally being fed. We would tell everybody.
Jonathan, you're sitting here with goosebumps. I mean, you think, what's the chance? I was just on K-Wave that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that time, that hour, that minute, you got through. You got the answer, got the tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you were listening to K-Wave. Then hear that ad, because those aren't airing all the time.
No, just say, "I know, because I do them now." So
yeah.
It's like, I know when it's air, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And then get the former Adventist prayer counselor.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
The Father in Heaven is so neat.
He is good.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Wonderful.
So I'm stuttering because I'm excited. But I talked to a lot of former Adventists, and their first experience at a new church, a Bible-believing church, mm-hmm. is always like a great experience. A lot of them will tell me like how they cried throughout the entire service and how they could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that
Amen.
Place. Was it the same
well,
for you?
It was like this. We came in, we're in some minor prophet somewhere.
Like
and yeah, and we're like, we come down, and we're like, "Where is the book of Nahum?" I've never seen that book before.
My grandfather's middle name was Obadiah.
Yeah, I think it was either Obadiah or it's one of those books. And we're like, he's going to teach from this? We're like, okay. And we're looking in the index for the book. And we come across it. And it was just like she said, it was manna. And I was like, he's going word for word. He's not skipping anything. I didn't have any notes there, but on the back of the bulletin, you could take notes or whatever. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I have all these notes now. What do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And
it
was
being
just,
fed.
I was being fed. And it was just amazing. We weren't jumping all over the place. He was staying in the book. He would go to different reference mm-hmm. reference scriptures and then come back. Yeah. And I was just amazed. Of course, we've been doing this for the last 8 years now, so we're used to it. If we don't have that, then we're lost. Like, what is going on? But this is good.
There are a lot of people who are transitioning from Adventism mm-hmm. to understanding, beginning to understand. Some of them, it's a long journey of wrestling with things. For you, it sounds like it was a little more rapid in your experience. Transitioning. Do you know other Adventists or former Adventists? Have you bumped into many?
We don't see them that often. One thing that I notice is when you're Adventist, you have a family and you're interacting all the time. But once you're not, you just don't seem to see people as much or interact because they're, of course, going to service on Saturdays and, off on Sundays and vice versa. Mm. But even some close friends we have, we see them. But we don't see them as often. But we can pick up the phone. Everything is great, and we're very friendly and close. But it seems like once
it's
we left,
awkwardness.
It became a little bit more awkward.
Mm-hmm. But did you feel that? Was it awkwardness that you felt toward the folks, or was it more they didn't know how to deal with you?
I think it was we felt awkward because mm-hmm. we had been in the church and we had said, there are some issues here that need to be dealt with and looked at more closely, and we're going to pursue that, and we made a choice to leave. So, you know, you can take that very personally and take, you know, and so that was the hard part, I think, for someone to have to receive that from someone else.
Yeah. The thing is I tried to, you know, me with this kind of on fire, I wanted to try to minister to them and say, this is true. I gave them tapes. You know, I wasn't as versed in scripture as I am now, but I it's like, look, you're believing a lie. And this is the word of God. This is what the word of God says. And this is what you're being taught. Don't you see any contradiction, you know, here between the word of God and mm-hmm. what the pastor is saying? You need to realize that this is truth. And one of my good friends, my best friend at the time, he is an elder in the church, and he just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't breaking into his heart.
Did your family follow you?
My family, my mother, after about 10 years, I think she has come to a true relationship. Not that she didn't have one, because she was always seeking the Lord and she always had her personal mm-hmm. devotion. She would say to me that, you know, I don't believe some of this stuff, but I'm just doing it because this is tradition, mm-hmm. you know. So, but my mother now she is away from that particular thing.
How about your dad, the minister? Is he still dad, the minister?
That's a whole different story.
Having been yeah. into anything you don't want to share.
He's always loved the Lord. He always has some issues, but he loves the Lord, and he never once believed in Seventh Day Adventism. He was always Baptist AME, mm-hmm. you know, and so that caused a clash in my household. Really. It did, because my mother was Seventh Day Adventist and my dad was, you know, an AME minister. And
so is dad okay with where you're at right
now?
Oh,
he loves it.
He's been to visit several times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your aunt
yeah.
has joined Calvary Chapel out
yeah,
in Riverside.
My aunt is now a member of Calvary Chapel, and she was part of the whole family.
Is
there.
Your dad like the choir?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come hear the choir? That, you're
my mom and my dad,
right?
Yeah, I direct the choir at Calvary.
That is so cool.
I do a lot of the arrangements, worship. I lead worship for the congregation, mm-hmm. the vast services there at Calvary Chapel, too, from time to time, you know, and it's just great. I love what the Lord is doing. I've been on staff there now for 3.5 years, I've grown up in the Lord, so mm-hmm. I really just my relationship is strong. I don't know what I would have done if all those experiences would not have happened, because I just would have been totally lost.
Mm. One of the biggest fears that a lot of Adventists have that are on that brink of transitioning out mm-hmm. is that if they leave the Adventist church, they'll mm-hmm. be leaving their
family.
Social family, their whole world, their culture, you know. Coming out of it, what has it been like as far as discovering a new church family, a new community?
I'll let you handle that, because you know.
Well, I thought, let me say first that I thought that the Adventist church, like you said, very family-oriented, mm-hmm. very good people, treat you well, all of that, that's all there. And so it was, we were nervous. Mm-hmm. We were concerned because, as you said, we were leaving one situation and a whole nother way of looking at things to a Calvary Chapel, which to us was kind of like undiscovered.
Yeah, foreign.
What am I trying to say? Territory.
Territory, yeah.
I mean, very come as you are. Churches always preach that. But when it comes to Sunday, at least in the Baptist church, the men had on, you know, three-piece suits and ties, and the women, you know, had the suit with the hat and the whole thing. So for me to come to Calvary Chapel, it was a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to keep reminding myself that the Lord said, come as you are. You are not defined by your dress or your status or your job. So that was an adjustment. The second thing I remember thinking very clearly, because it's such a large church, was that if I died tomorrow, no one would know that I was here. Mm-hmm. And so then I realized that you needed to be involved in the ministry, you know, meet people,
make
get
the
involved,
church small.
you know, make the church small to you. And so that's exactly what we did. I started off in children's ministry under Pastor Steph volunteering, and I think I volunteered in the Welcome Center. So then you start to see faces, and you realize that even though you have a lot of people coming to your church, there is a basic group of people that does your volunteering and that you see all the time and come to all of the services.
And then when I started the choir, we became our own family. It was a ministry unto itself. We meet on Wednesday nights and pray, and we pray first, and you know, prayer is what we do, and then singing is second or third down the line. So, but that whole transition with family, we discovered even when our son and our daughter were born, how loving and how caring and how we had a church community. Or if we, you know, something happened to us, we had support. I mean, genuine, authentic support. Like, okay, they're having a baby. We got to supply. We have to supply hospitality to them for a week. You know, we have people dropping off meals to our homes. You know, it's just amazing.
You've seen a real love among the fellowship, even though it's a huge church. What's the size of the church?
8,000. We serve 8,000 from on a Sunday. That's five services, including the evening service.
From an Adventist perspective, that is unbelievable.
Right.
Yes, it
I
is.
Mean, 8,000 people coming to church, that many services. I know our church, we can't fit everybody on a week, on a day. You know, it has to spill over to other days. Wonderful thing to see the Holy Spirit work that way.
It is, and we've certainly seen the church grow. When we started, it wasn't nearly that number of people there. You know, maybe it was 2,000 or 3,000. So we've seen an explosion for the Lord and a love for the Lord. And our church has to be the most diverse church I've ever seen in my life, more so than some universities. And we have seen them coming, I mean, from different continents. Different language, and it's a blessing because I always told my husband, I felt like I love my community, but I felt like I was missing out on something. You know, I went to UCLA and it was diverse, but those cultures didn't really intermingle. They went to the same college, but at our church, we all interact, so I learn about so many different people and different things that I would not have experienced in that smaller, you know, more defined church.
Yeah, and being an Adventist, coming from an Adventist background too, as an African American myself, I can remember how everything was so sectionalized. You had a black SDA church, and you had the white church, and
It's like, what is this about?
Yeah,
you know, two different conferences.
I noticed that, and I asked my husband. I said, "Why does this exist?" Well, you know, when I would see the black SDA church and the white SDA church, I mean, they had more parking. They had better facilities. Everything just, I don't know if it was more well thought out. I don't know if there was just a larger budget, but it was very distinctive.
Well, there's some deep, I'm sure, Pastor Mark, there's some deep reason for that. But you can see it on the surface, you know, and it was just, it really bothered.
And there were even, I think, two different magazines, Liberty and...
Yeah.
I can't remember what
can't
the
take
message.
The message.
So I thought, well, if it's divisive from the start, then it's not going to be a blessing to us. And this is, you know, not, I don't think this is something where we're going to be. If
don't
it's divisive
they still refer to it as the black work?
They have separate conferences in most states. I think California is like one of the few states where it's, where they have one conference, but still they have black ministries. And, you know, where there's a division. I mean,
I just think the beauty of your desire to experience multicultural life and the Lord leads you to a Calvary Chapel where you're finding there isn't, you know, segregated services for, you know, maybe for language groups.
Yeah, that just may, for language.
That, you know, and that's an understood no-brainer. But to enjoy each other and to see we're one in Christ.
That's right.
That's something we're experiencing here at our church. It's so neat to see the body be the body.
It's wonderful. We had a birthday party for my daughter, and I would just look around at all the people that were there, and I felt so happy because I felt like we were just exposing them to so much more, and that when they became adults and had to venture out on their own, they wouldn't have been in just kind of one little enclave, and now they're out having to learn how to deal with all types of people. They will have already been exposed to that. It will be nothing to them to go in and out of cultures, in and out of groups. It won't be a second thought for them.
That is wonderful. I've got a question for both of you. It's the same question. question. We have Seventh-day Adventist pastors and leaders coming to us a lot asking me, why is your church growing? Tell us what you're doing. They want to take materials with them. They want to copy what we're doing. And I always tell them, well, it's the Lord. It's the Spirit. It's the Lord. I'd like to turn the tables and maybe ask them why Seventh-day Adventism isn't growing. Instead of why are we growing, why aren't they growing if it's the Lord's true remnant church? Why would you say, Cliff, the Seventh-day Adventist church isn't growing?
Well, there are a few things.
Or let's say this. Churches in North America, I know there's a lot of growth in third world countries where I'm not so sure they really get a true picture of what Adventism is. But tell me, why you don't think Adventist churches are growing in North America?
Specifically Adventist churches and like you said, a lot of the churches. First, it is teaching the Word of God. I mean, what we experience line upon line, precept upon precept, even says in the Word of God several places that you're to do this. And a lot of the ministers, I don't know if it's a lack of time or if this has always been done the same way or if they're not willing to break out and to do it the way that the Word of God says you're supposed to do it. But they are not doing it. They're teaching topical, you know. And then, on top of that, they're not spirit-filled. You see, they lack that spirit leading, the Spirit's leading in their lives, where the pastors, the leaders, and it comes down from the pastor and it goes to the leaders, to the congregation. So if the head guy is not spending time in his devotions and is in the Word and is not being filled by the Holy Spirit and is not doing those things that the Word calls him to do as a leader, even in the book of Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy, then he's not going to be Spirit-filled. And that is not going to be given to the body, and it's not going to draw people.
Now, as I'm listening to you speak and share, I'm thinking, I'm listening to a guy who knows the Word. I'm listening to a guy who's been trained in the Word of God. You don't sound like a lot of people that I talk to who are in Adventism, let's say the regular church guy in Adventism.
Right.
I'm hearing, aren't you, Jonathan, somebody who knows the Word and he could sit down and give me teach me through Titus or 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now, do you think there would, and we're going to get to you, Robin, do you think that there is a danger for an Adventist pastor maybe to teach verse by verse through Galatians, for instance?
Of course. You were teaching Galatians, talking about all the things that Galatians has to talk about walking in the Spirit and loving and justification and all these things. They're going to run into some roadblocks because their prophetess has a whole different set of obligations and of works-based obligations that you must do in addition to the Word of God.
And that'd be tough to teach Galatians, instance. So I'm hearing you say that there is the reason why you don't think Adventist churches are growing is they're not teaching the Word verse by verse. They're not spirit-filled.
Yes.
And that's not a judgment. It's it's a necessity that you be filled with the Holy Spirit and you see the power of the Holy Spirit working. And Robin, what about you? What are you thinking?
Well, that's a little bit more difficult for me because I was just in it for the 1 year. Came in already a little bit skeptical, so I was listening very closely. And what stood out to me the most was simply that what I was hearing was not what I was reading in the Word. And as long as there is a contradiction with the Word, then there's a contradiction within your religion and what you're teaching. And that pretty much was the nuts and bolts of it for me.
You know, Pastor Mark, I was just talking to an Adventist pastor about a week ago, kind of to add on to what you were saying about teaching the Word. And I told him how the kids that go through our children's ministry here at Calvary Community Church and other Calvaries out there, or any church that's Bible-based, you know, teaching line upon line, the kids that go through a junior high or high school ministry might as well get a theology degree.
Yeah.
Because You know, I sat in on some of the classes, and I was like, these guys are learning things
They're going to meet.
I mean, they're studying the book of Daniel line upon line.
Yeah.
I mean, things that, you know, as an Adventist, I was taught, well, you're not ready for this yet.
Yeah,
right.
Until
later on. You got to get it to a certain level or understand.
To understand this.
You know, this week, believe it, I just can't believe it. This week, high school ministry, they're teaching Daniel 11. Mm. Which has got to be the hardest chapter in the Bible. I mean, it's wonderful. It's phenomenal.
It's
prophecy.
Filled with stuff, yeah.
But to the high school kids, I said, wow, this is great. You know, they're learning the word.
Yeah.
And the kids are coming up saying, we can't believe God knew all these things and he predicted all these things ahead of time. And it's building.
Well, that's being spirit-filled. When I got to Calvary Chapel, I mean, the first thing was that Pastor Steve would always talk about every time was developing a devotional life and developing your life with the Lord and your relationship. I am totally sold out to the fact that you can only be spirit-filled. This is just me, okay, thinking this, that you can only be spirit-filled if you have a personal walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that saved me from destruction, I feel. Personally, you know, it says in Romans that you're to offer yourself a living sacrifice, you know, and I was at the point where I was like, well, I can offer myself to all these other things. But the Lord, I mean, every day, the Lord speaks to me. And if I don't have anything to say from the word of God, I have nothing to say to my wife, have nothing to say to the people in the choir whom I serve, you know, as a leader, you know, as a shepherd. I have nothing to say to anybody here. Mm-hmm. So it's the word of God and the interpretation of it coming in my life and transforming me, you know. So that's what these guys need. That's what these ladies need. That's what we all need.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robin, your life has come into a beautiful testimony of the Lord's work and his faithfulness to you. You met the man that the Lord had prepared for you. You married him. The Lord has brought you into a great church. You have we didn't hear about kids, and we haven't heard what you're doing, Robin. Tell us.
Well, I'm a teacher. I teach sixth grade. I teach math, science, and history. And what's so wonderful is I teach ancient history. So we start in Mesopotamia, you know, with the Hunter-Gatherer Society, and we go all the way through Rome, and the Bible is all the way through history. So I get to use the Bible as my historical document. If we have just an excerpt in the book, I said, oh, no, we must read the whole chapter. You must understand the context of what we're doing. And they're just fascinated.
Oh, that's great.
And I tell them, see, the Bible said this. We already knew this was going to happen, and see how it happened. Or this is what was predicted. And I said, now you know about Iran and Iraq and all of these wars. There have been wars since the beginning of time. And so I just get to relate all of that, and that's wonderful. We have two children. We have Miss Catherine Olivia. She just turned 3. And we have Clifford Young III, who's 6 years old, and he attends a Christian school, Christ Lutheran Christian School, which is 3 minutes from where I work. So, and we love them. And
you teach at a public school.
I teach at a public school.
Oh, wow.
Public middle school.
Oh, that's awesome. So coming full way now in our talk, coming all the way now here to kind of gathering this all together, we've seen you two seeking honestly the truth, coming to know the Lord. The Lord honored that, married each other, seeking the truth, listening in the meetings, thinking, not all of these things are adding up for me, but going on through, kind of feeling the pressure to follow the truth you thought you were seeing, and then hearing a radio voice, and it's piquing your interest, and from there you followed the truth some more. And the Lord is the faithfulness of God
to
bring you to the Calvary there in South Bay is... And having the right person in the prayer room. I got to replay this for a second here at the end just to think, Lord, you love each one of us individually. Okay. And the person who is listening, thinking, what do I do? I know things don't all add up. let's wind this up with you telling them, encouraging them. What would you encourage them to do?
Well, I always think about the verse that talks about wives, be submissive to your husbands. And that's really what I was doing in following Clifford to check out the Adventist religion, because in my heart I was saying, no, it's something that's amiss here. But I knew that he was seeking the word. He was praying. I was praying. So as I mentioned before, that the Lord would work it out for us, right? For those who serve the Lord and submit, he will do good for us. And so for women, I would say, if your husband is praying and reading and studying the word and has a devotional relationship with God, then those things work out. But I have learned through Clifford. Mm-hmm. Because he's a spiritual head of the household. And so he encourages me. So I would say that to the men, that you really will be the leader in more ways than you'll realize. But if you're reading the Word of God, you know these things will happen because he says that they will. Mm-hmm. And just to be obedient and to be prayerful, we cannot just get up in the morning and go because we're empty. We're not filled. We don't have a word from the Lord to speak to represent Jesus Christ. So Clifford, you know, like he says, he gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I have to remind myself that even though I'm the mother and I have the small children and I'm working and I'm doing all of this, I can't neglect the same things that he's doing just because if I have to get up when the sun is not out, I need to do that. But I keep a Bible in my room at school, so when we have homeroom mm-hmm. and we have our silent reading time, the kids know I'm reading the word.
That is so cool. You just plugged in all through the day.
yeah, she does that.
What would you say, Cliff, for
you're about to make me cry here. It's been a journey. But for those who are seeking the Lord, you know, it doesn't stop at a religion or it doesn't stop at trying to being involved in some type of denomination or something. Your walk with the Lord starts with you seeking him daily. It starts with you opening up the word and praying through the word and developing your personal relationship with the Lord. It doesn't have to do with a prophetess. It doesn't have to do with what some man or woman says about what the Lord said to them. It has to do all to do with what the Lord has said to you. And if you diligently seek him, he will be found. If you open the word of God, you don't think that you're going to get an interpretation that's totally different and come up with some kooky doctrine, because you're not. The Lord will speak to you and he'll show you where to go. You need to get into a church that loves God, that loves people, that loves the word of God and that spirit filled. And for Seventh-day Adventists, it's not going to work, because they love their works. They love what they do for God. And he says all that we have is filthy rags. What we do for him is filthy rags. It can only be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So they need to do some personal seeking, and they need to find where they can be fed the word of God. And that's what I would say to them.
Wow, listening to you guys' stories, just amazing to see how the Lord has brought you out of false religion, really, mm-hmm. and brought you into his light, and how you've grown as a family, seeing the Lord work throughout your family and just growing you in his grace. What I want to do right now is just pray for those that are listening, mm-hmm. and also just praise God for you and what he's done in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being a faithful God, for being so wonderful, and for just leading Robin and Clifford in their lives and their journey, Lord, and teaching your truth to them, Lord, and for growing them into a wonderful family that just loves you and is serving you in both in the church and also in the secular jobs, Lord. Just thank you so much for what you've done in their lives. Lord, I just want to lift up those people that are listening to this recording right now, and just ask that you will just continue to work in their lives, and that you will somehow, you've just spoken to them throughout this whole conversation that we've been having here, and they've seen their lives and in our lives, and how if they would just plug in and just connect with you, Lord, how you can transform and change things and just bring them into a closer, more intimate relationship with you, Lord. I pray that they will have the boldness and the aptitude to just go out there and seek Bible-believing churches where they can be planted and where they can grow and hear your word being taught on a weekly basis. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.